VJW, KN4 VWA.
KN4 VWA, W4 DJW.
Let me ask you a question. How much of a pain is it to set up Echo Link on your cell phone?
What unit of measurement would you like that in? Gallons of milk or quarts, pints?
From 1 to 10, FT8 being a 10, and, you know, somewhere in between, how much of a pain is Echo Link on a cell phone?
So if you've already got your certificate, your Echo Link approval, you know, you took a picture of your license and you sent it to them and they added you to it, then to put it on your phone is 5 minutes worth of work. You just download the client, run it, plug in your call sign, use it, find a repeater and use it.
Okay, so that's actually pretty simple. All right. How aggravating is it to find a repeater if you're out on the road?
Not difficult at all if you know the call sign or the number. If you want to find it based on geography, it takes a little bit. Give me a minute. I'll be right back. The umbrella on the back deck, I forgot it was still deployed. And it's about to fly away. So give me a minute. I'll be right back. That'd be 4DJW.
WA, standing by.
Present LK.
Hey, what's happening, big man?
Image up that way. Off 11.
A lot of trees along Highway 11 down. As a matter of fact, before the sun came up, had a couple of traffic accidents where, you know, you come around a curve, boom, there's a tree in the road, and they drive up into the tree. Fortunately, nobody really injured. But beyond that, lots of trees down along 11. It was pretty scrubby there for a while. I didn't personally have any damage because my property used to be a peach orchard and it's been mucked, so no trees close by my house or anything like that, but my neighbor had a couple of trees that came down, and I had, according to my station, I had gusts at 54, so it was quite breezy this morning, and you know, pride going before the fall, but I was very relieved and very proud of my tower this morning because I've got a Mosley GA33 beam up there, and it came through it just flying colors.
Yeah, you'd hate to lose that. I don't have any trees down on my property that I can tell, but there's trees down everywhere, and the power's out. There's lines down everywhere up this way.
And you, where along 11 are you?
That's Table Rock.
Aha, okay. Well, all right, as you're coming back towards Spartanburg, or back towards Campobello, if you know that area, it starts up over there at about Highway 101, and that's as far east as I know about, but it's about around Highway 101 back towards Campobello. Lots of trees.
I don't think it was like a line. I think it's hit or miss, but it was breezy this morning for sure. I could hear it roaring and hear the house creaking. I was sitting there hoping some of the... Anyway, I'm going to let you go. I got to run in here in the house and make sure everything's good. We'll talk to you later. Have a good day. N4ZLK.
Hey, thanks for checking in with me, Shane. Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. And hopefully you didn't have any damage up there around your place, so... Anyhow, be safe out there today. KN4, VWA, still standing by.
W4, DJW, I'm back.
Hey, KN4!
You didn't hang on to the umbrella, did you?
Could have done like Mary Poppins. It's ferocious out there. Do you have your Echo Link approval yet?
No. I'm just exploring the very, very front end of it, and I haven't even downloaded the software or anything else yet.
So take a while. You can't just, like, set it up and 5 minutes later you're running. You've got to go to their site, and they explain a lot to you about how EchoLink works, and you've got to download a form. You've got to get your license, a picture, photocopy of your FCC license. You've got to send it to them. They've got to approve it. And when they approve it, they'll assign you a node number, and you'll be requesting one of three different call signs. Your call sign without any suffix, your call sign with a dash R, and your call sign with a dash L. Dash L is like local. It's not a repeater. It's just you can use it local around your house. You can use your handheld, and you can use that local, and you can, you know, around your house. It's kind of advantageous there. Dash R is if you want to run a repeater on your call sign, and your call sign by itself is just you out and about using EchoLink. So when they approve that and they give you a node number, then you can download the software, install it, and it's going to ask you what your call sign is. You're going to put it in there. When it goes out to the EchoLink server, it's going to validate that you've been approved.
Okay. What's generally turnaround on getting that assignment and approval?
You know, it's been 15 or more years since I've done that, so I don't really know. I don't have any idea. Back then, it only took a few days. Just a few days. I don't know what it takes now. Probably just a few days.
Okay. All right. I was thinking about trying to check in from Florida on the cell phone. So, anyhow, any concept. And I never really had occasion to need the EchoLink. But this is first time out for it. So, anyhow, I'll go home and I'll probably try to get on there and get that form filled out and get it going, and I'll go from there. So, all right, well, I've pulled into another office that is ill prepared for their DHEC inspection, and they want me to come by and say, what do we do? Well, what paperwork do we need? You gotta love them. I'm going to run in and do that real quick, and I will talk to you again later on this afternoon, especially after I get a really good look at the landing gear on that Cadet.
All right, sounds good. Be safe out there. Flying objects going through the air. If you see Mary Poppins going across the sky hanging from an umbrella, you know what happened. Anyway, be careful. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear and listening.
Hey, before you go, several of us, it was about five or six of us on bikes, and we all had our wives with us, and we stopped in Tryon and went into this little restaurant, and they had an open-air deck on the back. Well, we sat out there under one of these tables that had an umbrella, and we had a gust of breeze come by, and it picked up that umbrella, and it landed on a BMW out in the parking lot and busted the sunroof out of it. Oh, man. So anyhow, advice for the day, Dave. Do not hold on to the umbrella stalk. K4VWA, clear.
Well, the reason I scrambled out of here is because it did that to me before. It raised the umbrella up, and then the umbrella and the pole came down, and it went right through the glass that is the glass tabletop on the back deck. And that was a $500 sheet of glass. So that was a $500 lesson learned. That's why I got up and got out of here really quick. Anyway, catch you later. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear.
K4DJC. Hey, how you doing today, Miss Under OTR?
Time's cooler this morning than it has been the last few days.
Roger. Well, my car's showing 45 degrees out here, and it is definitely breezy. We just got in a mobile and moving along, going over to Spartanburg, to Sam's and Costco's, I think. And it definitely was chillier this morning. How'd you like that picture? Wasn't that a pretty picture the daughter sent me?
He was fixing to walk in the gate. Where was that located, Tom?
Town in West Bloomfield, Michigan, which is just like any other residential area. I've seen pictures of lots of deer in their yard. They just don't pay any attention to the cars and that. And, but that was an exceptionally big buck and a beautiful buck. And then it snowed yesterday. And when she opened up the gate, there he was standing there staring at her.
Things I would like to see something like that in the woods some years back when I still hunted. That would have been a nice one there, of course. Having one staring at you like that, it's kind of gives you, some people have butt fever, never bothered me that much. But I've seen guys empty the rifle without firing a shot. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody do that or not, but one guy with a lever action had been back in the early 70s. He'd never hunted before. He had a ball in a Winchester. He just jacked all the cartridges out of it, time went firing a shot.
No, but I had one in a 270 one time, jam when I was taking a shot at a coyote. I didn't realize I had brand new brass, and I just assumed, being young, that it was all sized and ready to go, but that was a mistake because I missed him on the first shot and the second shot jammed, and I couldn't go anywhere else with it at the time. I couldn't get it open or closed or nothing. And then another one, I had a coyote that we called, and it almost jumped in the bushes with me, and I missed that one at very close range. But I never had one that close before. I didn't realize that they like those coyote calls that well. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't, of course.
Had any luck calling them here? Then some years back, I had one of those stock pros, electronic collars, and we don't supply the property, and we never had any luck at all. It's just, it's not the, I guess they got too much easy food in here than they do out west. When it's so, when they feed on rabbits here, they'll eat anything, I guess, but I never had much luck with them. I've had luck calling crows, but not much on fox or coyote.
I must call, and it was excellent for coyotes or foxes. But my buddy used one, and it sounded entirely different. And I got one of them later on, but it almost sounded like a squall instead of a squeal. I like the higher pitch ones. And it just kind of wall, and I thought, well, nothing's coming into that, and that's the one that come in and was very close to jumping in the bushes with me. And when I aimed the scope, I shot at him from the waist, and when you do that, you aim off of the top of the scope instead of the rifle barrel. It's just an automatic thing, and so I shot over him. But I'll bet you that's the deafest coyote in Crawford County. This is Enzer OTR.
When you were talking about that 270 a minute or two ago, I remember a friend of mine and I were both shooting 270s, and I think it was a 270. I'm pretty sure it was a Dakota Army 270. He eventually had to re-barrel or something else, but I believe it was a 270. But anyway, we were using, both of us were using, I was using a Redding press back in those days. Those are, and I was using Redding dies because I always thought they were a better made than the RCBS were. They were more expensive. And he had, I thought he had a good bit of experience loading, but evidently he didn't. He did the thing a lot of people do, is he didn't. He'd set the neck back on it too far. And every second one he'd load and clicked. And I IT. He said, what did they rock? I said, well, you need to set that, you need to put a piece of cardboard up there between the die and the base of the, between the bottom of the die and the shell holder to give you enough to keep it off. That shell holder, you're going to push it back and it's just going to be, it's not going to fire. Oh, because I always just neck size mine, John. I mean, that's my, when I have a pretty tight chamber, and I neck size them and trim them every once in a while. And I never loaded anything other than like 4831. I want to say it was 4350 or maybe I think that's what reloaded one of those things. 3% reloaded 4 by. I think 4350 was. He gets possibly a bit more accurate out of my rifle.
A little bit scratchy, Jerry. Yeah, that's all I ever did neck size when I was bench rest shooting, and especially with the 22-250 and the 270. Well, the 243 also. Once I'd fired them, I just neck sized them. But the Reddings are good dies. The best ones I ever seen in my life were Bonanzas, and I don't even know if they're still in business or not, but a Bonanza Press is the most heck bent for stout loader I ever seen in my life. And my buddy, he was he was particular. And, I mean, he'd weigh all the cases and the whole nine yards. But that Bonanza die, you just couldn't help but know just by looking at it that it was phenomenal. I don't think at all they're necessary. I use RCBS. I've used Lee dies even, and Lee dies are good. But with CNC equipment now, G-Mini, they're within tenths of a thousandth of an inch, so they're plenty good. And I use a lot of Lyman dies and different ones. They all seem to work well, but I never thought about new brass needing size, and you live and you learn, Jerry. That's N0TR.
I think Bonanza, they still make Forster Bonanza, they still make screwdrivers. I don't know if they still make that Bonanza coax press or not, but that was a good press. And I like the way it was just big. So you had that good bit of room for it. It was heavy. I'll get out. But I don't think I've used it. I still got a set of Bonanza screwdrivers I use. I've had those things for, 45, maybe 50. I've had them since back in the 70s, I guess, time. But they did with those Lee Collett dies are real good. That's one of the things. One of my friends who shoots the 2200 is once he started using that little gunpowder and use those Lee Collett dies, all of a sudden this hornet, just woke up and started shooting inside the inch at 100, where she couldn't get that thing to, he could get through for nothing hardly in zero TR in 4GC.
Well, we did use a lot of 4831 because Hodgson had a lot left over after the war, World War II. In Germany, we could buy it for little or nothing. So, we did use that. My buddy bought a keg of it. And then I cast quite a lot of 190 grain 30-06 bullets. They were gas jet bullets. Well, we used primarily with the larger calibers. We used 4831 and 4350. And when I went to the 22-250, I think I used about 32 grains of 30-31, Jerry. Seemed to work out real well. I'd shoot under an inch consistently with that 22-250 up to 100. And at 200, I could hit a quarter most of the time. Of course, I had that 15 power John and Earl scope on it, too. Back to you, Jerry.
22-250. That same friend of mine had it. He was like me. He bought a lot of rifles over the years, and he had a Remington custom shot 22-250 bought from a guy. This has been, 35 years ago, I guess, maybe a little more longer than that. And he had a custom shop, 250 Remington 700. Man, that thing would absolutely have some of the best. It had one of the best barrels I've ever seen. It was just, you know, 2250 are not known for the accuracy of some of the smaller capacity cases, but it was issued inside a half inch just about regularly. And he bought some of those here blitzes. I know you know what I'm talking about. We call them blitz creamers, because he'd drive them too fast and disintegrate before they hit the target. They just leave a vapor trail. I said, man, I think you got to blow this thing right through the top end of 3,500 feet per second, I would think.
This is NZ0TR, N4 DJC. Roger, I think it was Hornady that had an SX bullet in that 22-250, and they advised you not to shoot them over 3,500, although that rifle shoots 3,850 foot a second, if memory serves me right. Well, John had a 40 XP Remington with a 27-inch stainless steel, and it was a single shot from the custom shop at Remington. And it was marvelous, I'm telling you, with a Leupold scope on it. And then he had a 6mm, which is 244, and it was a great rifle. And very heavy in single shot. But I think that guy had one of everything. And he liked to hand load every single thing, of course. But he's passed away now. And yeah, like you and me both, it's probably been 30-35 years. But I still enjoy loading a little bit, but I just don't have any of those firearms like that anymore. But it was a lot of fun in the good old days. Jerry, we're at Sam's now. I really enjoyed visiting with you this morning, buddy. There's very few people have knowledge about ballistics like you do. It's always nice to talk to somebody with some smarts about that. Take care, Jerry. Have a good day. In 73s. N4DJC and 0TR.
It's not as good as it once was, but I do enjoy reminiscing about things like that. Bernice, have a good day. Looks like the sun's out here, and hopefully it'll warm up just a little bit. Got to be safe heading back home. N0TR, N4DJC clear.